The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
This evening, the Dáil will vote on the final committee report on assisted dying, which calls for the government to legalise assisted dying in certain circumstances. We'll come to that in a moment. But yesterday, Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou McDonald apologised in the Dáil to the teenager who was sent inappropriate texts by the former senator, Niall O'Donnell. Ireland editor of the Irish Independent, Fionnán Sheehan, is with me now. Fionnán, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
So, job done?
Attempting to draw a line under the matter 13 months after she first learnt of this issue, and that there were text messages inappropriately sent to a young man, a teenager who was at the time only 16. 11 months after there was a cover-up around the departure of the leader of the Shannon, and 10 days after she found out that this issue was going to come to light, Mary Lou McDonald finally does the right thing and acknowledges there was a victim here and makes a thorough apology to him. She's not apologising for the statement that she made about Brian Stanley. Or sorry.
That different matter.
Different matter entirely. A bigger hurdle. She's not apologising for the statement that she made about Niall O'Donnell. She is saying that she is sorry for the upset that it caused to the teenager concerned. And you'd have to say it was a frank, sincere apology.
And she has written to him privately.
She's written to him privately. But it doesn't explain the botched job that Sinn Féin did in it for the previous 10 days, where they basically started out by saying, we found out in September that a 17-year-old received an inappropriate message from a party member. In fact, they found out well before September it was a 16-year-old who's a child in the eyes of child protection laws. It wasn't a party member. It was a party senator who resigned in disgrace and nobody was told about it. So the Sinn Féin, there was the original cover-up and then there was the cover story that they came up with previously, and that's all collapsed now. And it doesn't augur well for a party that's trying to get into government if you can't handle a crisis. Ultimately, crises will happen. COVID-19 will happen. Ukraine will happen. Cost of living crisis. You need to be able to think in your feet and respond fairly rapidly.
Now, did she accept that she had misled the Dáil?
Oh, God, no. No. Well, she did on the age. I mean, yeah. She accepted that she was not I thought you meant the Oireachtas. Did she accept that the Oireachtas was misled 11 months ago when Niall O'Donnell resigned? No, there's no acceptance of that. She does accept that.
She got the age wrong.
Now, it's quite bizarre what was going on here. Sinn Féin were told 10 days ago, he's 16, he's 17, he's 17, he's 17. They go into the Dáil, they say, he's 17. Kieran Cannon, the Fine Gael TD, who had actually checked on this matter and had got solid information that he was 16, says he's 16. He's accused of abusing the privilege of the Dáil and saying that he was 16. They were being told all week long he was 16. They keep saying, oh, well, our records keep saying he's 17. Even on Sunday, when the teenager concerned comes out and says he was 16 at the time, they're still insisting he was 17. Michelle O'Neill gets up in Stormont as the First Minister and says he was 17. So it's just bizarre.
Is there some semantic thing here that he is 17 now, but at the, you know...
Doesn't matter. They were
insisting... You know what I mean? Because in a parallel story that's on all the front pages about Kyron Dernan, he's reported as a missing 8-year-old.
Yeah.
But if he was killed when he was 6, you know, he was 6-year-old. So, you know, people say, well, the text went to him maybe when he was 16, but he's 17 now.
Yeah, the issue in this case is that there is a significant difference between whether people would say, well, what's the difference? He was 16, he was 17, he was a minor. It was reported. Fine. If you're 16, you are a child under child protection laws. Once you head to 17, you're no longer.
And also, 17 is nearly 18, drinking age, voting age, all of that. So there's that kind of massaging of the offence.
It's quite bizarre that Sinn Féin continued to go down a route here when they were being told repeatedly, you have got a problem. They kept saying, our party records. Well, your party records were wrong. And to be honest, no, their party records haven't been great now in recent weeks. There was no party record being kept about references being sent out for other people. There was no party records being kept about HR departments getting calls about things. So Sinn Féin falling back on their party records isn't the best excuse, really.
Okay, but do you think the matter's done and dusted now?
I think there was other bits and pieces, and we'll see are there any further developments.
But I mean, the question that you have raised in The Independent is why wasn't the matter reported to the Gardaí? Because the person is employed, and as it happens, as a senator being paid by the Irish state, and therefore had, an employment existence in the South.
The silence of the Oireachtas, the House of the Oireachtas, where these laws are drafted, is quite astonishing. A letter was sent by three senators last week, asking basically that the Crown Court look into this matter, because in this case, the individual sending the messages was employed by the Oireachtas, had access to Oireachtas equipment, was in the Oireachtas, obviously frequently when the Shannon was sitting, and otherwise because he had an office there. So the question remains, if there is a possibility that these inappropriate messages were being sent from the Republic of Ireland on equipment provided by the Houses of the Oireachtas, then why weren't the guards being called? And that question still hasn't satisfactorily been answered. Sinn Féin say, we reported in the jurisdiction where the young person was based. The question is, sorry, the way the law works is it's the jurisdiction where the potential issue arose is where you should report. And in this case, this person was based in the South. And Sinn Féin have admitted, well, we don't know where these messages were sent from.
Mm. So if they're to exercise, quote unquote, an abundance of caution?
Yeah, so a week ago we were being told that matters that were reported to Sinn Féin that were not of a criminal nature were now going to the Gardaí for an abundance of caution.
This is the Brian Stanley.
Yeah, so the Brian Stanley, the complaint against Brian Stanley. Yet a child protection issue that came to their attention 13 months ago in a formal capacity that was known about in the party beforehand, and nobody has offered any rational explanation for why this did not go to an Garda Síochána, just for an abundance of caution, just to be absolutely clear.
Okay, now where are we with the Brian Stanley situation? I mean, he's no longer running for them, but his wife has landed a sort of a job in Europe.
Yeah, there's a committee in the regions and their government. The parliament appoints people to this. Let's face it, like, this is a bit of a talking shop now. This is not major powerful position.
And no salary attached to it.
No salary attached. So a number of councillors are sent to represent the nation at this body. So it's carved up based upon the representation within the Dáil. The Sinn Féin nominee who is now going is Brian Stanley's wife, who is a councillor in Laois. And by my understanding, the close of nominations for this matter, when it was the names had to be submitted, was September the 20th. Now, Brian Stanley was at that stage the subject of an inquiry on foot of a complaint being made against him at the start of August. And then he resigned on October the 12th. So the timing, yeah, is curious, because basically Sinn Féin are now sending a representative who, you know, is basically no longer of their cohort.
I mean, she might say, "I'm not my husband's keeper."
She might say that.
Don't blame Simon Boveney for his brother's activities in RTE.
We'll see who she's canvassing for in 3 weeks' time, then, won't we?
All right. Finally, and briefly about the assisted dying report, which is being voted on. I mean, this is just giving, we don't know what way the result will be, but perhaps a nod of approval to something that won't be law.
Yeah, it won't be law, but we do have extensive deliberations by the Oireachtas Committee on this matter. 11 of the 14 members of that committee approved the final report, which is now effectively being voted on. So it'd be a vote in principle. Are you in principle in favour, as an Oireachtas member, of laws being drafted in this area?
But a new Dáil might take a different view.
You could have a completely liberal or a completely conservative Dáil which adopts a completely different view on the matter. But it does set out people's stall ahead of a general election. We know where people stand on an issue like this.
Is that something that they would prefer not to have to do, do you think?
Probably. You're looking again at Fianna Fáil having a vote of conscience. The gag during the last decade was Micheál Martin was affording his party a vote of conscience to allow himself to vote with his own conscience. It can be an awkward one for a party like that it would have both conservative and liberal elements in it. So we'll see how that falls in terms of each individual party. But no, there's nothing binding out of this. It is a vote in principle. You would have to say, you look at the TD who was driving this issue over the last number of years, Gene O'Kenny, People Before Profit TD from
who also wants drugs Midwest. Decriminalized.
Yeah, but Gene O'Kenny doesn't come out saying I'm pursuing mainstream agenda issues here. He picks a number of topics. He puts an argument forward as a legislator, and he's made considerable progress, you'd have to say, on his legislative agenda, more so than a lot of other TDs, including people in his own party who just stand up and shout quite a lot, but it's hard to see what they actually achieve.
Fionnán Sheehan, Ireland editor with the Irish Independent, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.